This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at cvilletomorrow.org, and he joins us every Tuesday afternoon to talk a little growth and development. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing great, Coy. You ready for Thanksgiving?
Sure, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I've never been a big fan of Thanksgiving. I don't know why. Even as a kid, I was just sort of like, this is a holiday?
Really?
Really?
It's a good opportunity to eat pie, Coy.
It is. Now, I will tell you, that's what I'm looking forward to, because I'm going to go nuts. I'm just going to just go buy this pie, and just try them all. So
like
we can report back next week and say, this is what I really enjoyed.
Thanksgiving's looking better and better.
It is indeed. But I will tell you, I think in advance, the best is going to be pumpkin, because I'm a pumpkin fan.
It's tradition.
Yeah. Although, if Mary Jean Jaggers wanted to bake me the butterscotch pecan pie that she made at the pie festival.
Oh, yeah. I'd take one of those.
Oh, my gosh. That was the best pie I've ever had, bar none.
Good.
I can't believe that didn't win. Because you and I, when we were eating it, we looked at each other and said, oh my gosh.
And we gave it all the points we had.
And we had tasted dozens of pies. So we certainly had something to compare it to.
We did.
And that pie was fantastic. And she said afterwards, oh, really? That was just something I threw together at the last minute. Because she made a lot of pies for that day. She just sort of threw that, yeah, I'll try this one.
Well, we have some relatives coming to town that are going to be in our house. But for part of the holiday, we are leaving town, going down to Morgantown, or is it Morganton? Morganton, North Carolina. Because it's Morgantown.
West Virginia.
Morganton, North Carolina.
Which is where?
Which is down somewhere in...
Coastal?
It's on I-40 between Asheville and Charlotte. Charlotte, Greensboro.
Greensboro, yeah, because you pick up 85
to
go down to Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then 40 continues east onto Wake Forest, Greensboro, Durham, right? Whatever.
Sure.
Whatever. I don't know North Carolina like I know Virginia.
Google will tell me how to get there, Coy.
Who's in Morganton?
My cousin.
What's her name?
My cousin's name is Mike and Karen.
Her name is Mike?
Her name is Karen. His name is Mike. Two of my cousins are bringing together all of the extended family on the Strepa side of the family, the Italian side of my family.
For the first time in a long time.
For the first time in a long time.
Well, this will be very exciting.
So all my cousins will be there.
I want to see some Facebook pictures.
We'll document it.
Do those mobile uploads. That's very exciting.
I've never done a mobile upload of a Facebook picture. It's on my list of things to do.
I've never taken a photo with my phone. Although I can. I have never taken one. I couldn't tell you how it would be done. And it's not that it doesn't interest me. It's just that I've never had any occasion to do it.
I need one of those fancier phones before I can do this effectively.
Yeah. It is much easier.
I'm holding out for the iPhone.
Well, that's something good to hold out for. It's a lot of fun.
As soon as I get an iPhone, I'm going to do mobile uploads. Watch out.
Now, tell me about your Thanksgiving experience. You're going to have it here, and then you're going to leave your relatives here at your house and go down to North Carolina?
No, the relatives are going to hold down the fort while we're out of town having Thanksgiving, but then we're coming back on Saturday.
And have it again.
And probably have it again.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That must be fun. So how do you do Thanksgiving?
Because the Tech game is in town this weekend, right?
I believe it's Saturday.
I think it's here.
It's the big last game.
It's here and it's Saturday. Now I know it. And we have family who are Virginia Tech alums.
That's right.
We have UVA alums. So,
are you going to the game?
I'm not, but various relatives are, and they feel very strongly about this game. And I think they will be very happy at the end of Saturday.
Yeah, they probably will.
Based on the results.
They probably will. We hate to say it, and hopefully it won't happen next year, but let's just get through this season.
There you go.
Now, how do you do Thanksgiving, Brian? You light meat, dark meat? Do you do the cranberries?
I do a little bit of everything.
You do?
Yeah.
You do the dark meat and the light meat?
Oh, yeah. I prefer white. Lots of gravy.
Do you do gravy? I was going to say, do gravy or ketchup?
Gravy. Ketchup.
I'm from Atlanta, boy.
I grew up in Atlanta. I never used ketchup on turkey.
But my dad was from Moultrie.
Oh.
I mean, come on. Ketchup was always on the table at my house. You put it on everything.
Sweet potatoes.
You put a ketchup on your white rice?
I don't put ketchup on anything but hamburgers and french fries.
Oh, you're not from Atlanta.
Well, I would go into the Varsity in Atlanta.
Yeah, where my parents met, by the way.
When I would order a hot dog, I would say, I want a plain hot dog. And then the call, Naked Dog.
Naked Dog.
Would ring out along the assembly line.
I love that place.
That was a good place.
Oh, yeah, I love it. And my parents met there, actually, back in the 1950s. Right there at the Varsity, right near Georgia Tech, downtown.
That's right.
So you try a little bit of everything. You smother it with gravy.
Well, yeah, people bring dishes. You know, I don't want to offend anyone, so I try to...
Oh, of course.
Try to taste everything.
Here you go.
And,
You eat that cranberry stuff with the ridges from the can in it?
Okay, I do stay away from the cranberry stuff.
I've never had that in my life, because as a kid, I always looked at it and thought, this looks like an industrial accident. You know, it's got ridges in it.
I don't mind offending the person that opened the can of cranberry stuff.
Right.
Right.
Because it is.
That's okay.
Sort of. But there's some people that love that stuff.
They do.
Yeah.
And they have it once a year and they love it.
My mom would always make this this dish that sat on the side.
That doesn't sound good.
I mean, you want to talk? She made it for my dad because he always requested it, and it's evidently something he grew up on down in Moultrie during the Depression. It's a bed of lettuce, like a little lettuce leaf,
yeah,
with a pineapple ring on top of that, and then on top of the pineapple, I kid you not, I grew up with this, is a big dollop of mayonnaise mixed with peanut butter. You mix mayonnaise and peanut butter up, and you make this like spread. And you put that big dollop of that on top of a pineapple slice on top of a piece of lettuce.
Never heard of such a thing.
On every Thanksgiving table in my life growing up.
That's just weird. I think somebody dared a relative to do that a generation ago, and you're just still doing it.
I never ate it, but my dad would eat ours. He was like, hey, give me that. You going to eat that? Because he grew up on that thing. That was like a big thing to him. Ah, somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. It must be a Southern thing. I don't know. Or just my weird family. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. What good things are going on in our community, Brian?
Got a couple things to talk about. We had a story in the Daily Progress about the turnover that's about to happen on the County Planning Commission. There's 7 members of that commission, Coy, and there could be 3 to 4 new members next year.
Whoa.
And
how does it work? They get appointed, or
it works by people applying, and it also works through elections. So when we elected new members of the Board of Supervisors, Rodney Thomas and Dwayne Snow, the newcomers will get their chance to pick their planning commissioners to represent the Rio District and the Samuel Miller District. Now, some of those people, like in the Samuel Miller District, Eric Strucco is the current chair of the planning commission, and he was appointed by Sally Thomas. Eric cannot even reapply because he just got elected to the Albemarle County School Board.
That's right, yeah.
So the school board's going to keep him quite busy. So the Samuel Miller seat is open. Dwayne Snow is going to advertise for those positions. So if you're listening and you live in the Samuel Miller district.
I do.
And you're interested in all things planning, that's you, Coy.
I like talking about it.
You can really simplify our work. You know, I could just interview you on the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Dwayne Snow is going to seek applications. You can apply through December 16th. Just go to the county website and you'll find that information. In the at-large seat, there's 7 planning commissioners. 1 is at-large. There are only 6 supervisors. So all supervisors get to pick the at-large representative. Marcia Joseph has been in that seat. She is not reapplying. So that opens up that seat. Again, the Board of Supervisors will take nominations from the community. That person can live anywhere in the community and be eligible for the at-large seat. Bill Edgerton represents the Jack Jewett District, was appointed by Dennis Rooker. He is not seeking reappointment. So there's another open seat. Mr. Rooker said he does have a candidate in mind. He's not disclosing that person's name yet, but he wants to make sure that that person shares his philosophy on growth and development. So those are some of the seats. And then, of course, Rodney Thomas is going into the Rio seat. And he defeated David Slutsky. David Slutsky appointed developer Don Franco to the Planning Commission. Don Franco has reapplied. So he could be one of the people that reapplies, and potentially Rodney Thomas could put him back on the commission.
Yeah.
Or Rodney could seek another applicant and nominate them.
Now explain to us, for folks who are just joining us, why is this important? I mean, what exactly does the Planning Commission do that this would be something we'd want to watch?
Well, as regular listeners of this show know, this is very important because this body makes recommendations to the Board of Supervisors about the important things like master plans. They've recently recommended approval of the Places 29 master plan for 29 North. They just last week recommended approval of the Village of Ravenna master plan.
Oh, they approved that, yeah.
That's for the Glenmore area.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the body that wrestles with these things up front. Sometimes the Board of Supervisors will say to them, hey, you know what, we'd really like to do a wind turbine ordinance. We'd like to allow people to have wind turbines to generate power at their homes. You guys figure that out. So sometimes task gets sent to the Planning Commission. They wrestle with the ordinance and figure out what's the right wording and then make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. So a lot of things get figured out at that early stage by the Planning Commission. That said, the board has the last say on most matters, so they oftentimes overturn the Planning Commission's recommendation. That's not to dismiss the importance of their work.
They just have other considerations that they take into account
sure.
that the Planning Commission does not.
Like politics.
Like politics. That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
So that's a couple of the things that they do. Now, some things that they will review and make a decision about, for example, maybe a waiver or certain site plans that don't need to go to the Board of Supervisors. So in some cases, they're the only body that reviews some of the growth and development coming through.
Very powerful group.
It is.
And any listener can be a part of that group. There's lots of openings.
Go to albemarle.org and look for the information about the Planning Commission vacancies and how to apply.
Let me ask you this. During the recent campaigns, we heard a lot on the radio that there's a lot of talk about people are saying, well, you know, Albemarle County turns away business. And, you know, we could be so much better off if we had allowed all these businesses to come in. And we need to be more open to business. Number one, has that been true? You've been watching this for years. Have we been turning away a lot of businesses? Or was that just some rhetoric or somebody taking one or two instances and really blowing them up bigger than they were? And number two, would it have been the Planning Commission that would have done that?
Well, when people have said that to me and I ask them, if you believe Albemarle has not been business friendly, what would you want them to do differently?
That they're not doing, yeah.
Right. And so the business advocates in town respond to me and they say, Brian, you know what? We want the Board of Supervisors to come right out and say, we want your business. Come out and say, we're business friendly. That's a message they've not seen from all of the supervisors. Other supervisors, Dennis Rooker, for example, has said, you know what, we're growing at 1% a year without us doing much of anything, trying to attract people or businesses to the community. And that's a rate of growth he's comfortable with.
Right.
So others would say, you know what, we need a better mix in our tax base. We need more commercial income in our tax base.
Well, we certainly heard that from Dwayne and Rodney.
And so Dwayne Snow, Rodney Thomas, the newly elected members, we expect them to not only go out and say we are open for business, but then also try to recruit different companies. Now, Dwayne Snow said he wanted to create jobs for, you know, basically existing residents and smaller scale business opportunities. Rodney Thomas, on the other hand, said he was interested in attracting larger businesses. You ask if any had been turned away. I can't think of any recently that have been publicly disclosed.
I couldn't either. That's why I was, when I heard that, I was like, really? Are we turning away business?
You'd have to go back to that Motorola plant, I believe it was, that ended up relocating closer to Richmond. I think there was some discussion about whether that was appropriate. But most of the people who run for local office here say they do not want a big manufacturing or big smokestack facility.
Yeah.
They want the high-tech, clean, green jobs.
The only problem is that's what everybody wants.
That's what everybody wants.
And you got to give them the kitchen sink to set up shop in your neighborhood.
Another thing I would point out is that I can't think of any major development that's been turned down over the tenure of this past Board of Supervisors. So over the past 4 years, since David Slutsky was elected in 2005, for example, I can't think of any major development that's been turned down.
Yeah.
People in the business community, however, point out that they would have liked some of those developments that ultimately were approved earlier, i.e. before the bubble burst on the housing market.
Yeah. So more fast track kind of thing.
They would have wanted a North Point approved sooner. They would have wanted parts of Hollymead Town Center approved sooner. Other developments like that.
Yeah. But so, everything was approved.
Everything has been approved.
Yeah.
So now what we have is a huge pipeline, probably 40 to 50 years worth of housing that's been approved but not built. And we have millions of square feet of commercial that's been approved but not built. So again, we're back to the question, when is the market going to return for that? And then do we have enough locations for housing and commercial activity? And what's the role of government to try to fill those things now that they've already approved them?
And Albemarle County doesn't have an economic development officer, do they? But the city does, right?
They have a facility. The county has what's called an economic development facilitator, I believe, but not an office like what Aubrey Watts does
for the city.
In the city of Charlottesville.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things John Lowry ran as an independent in the Samuel Miller district. That was a key platform for him in his campaign, saying that that office needed to be created. You could even use the same staff that we have. But it's basically repackaging what they do, putting a different label on it, and then putting the word out to the business sector. We're open for business. We want you to come to Albemarle County.
How would you be able to pay this salary for a position like that if you don't have any money?
Well, you know, they would say the position should pay for itself by attracting new business to the community that brings in new tax revenues.
There you go. Brian Wheeler, he's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online right now at cvilletomorrow.org. We're going to take a break for local news and get a weather update. And when we get back, what are some of the things
we're
going to talk
about? We're going to talk about a lot of development going on. It's not happening in the commercial and real estate sector in Albemarle County, but it is happening at the University of Virginia. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about this idea that was bandied about for the past couple of years on the Regional Transit Authority.
This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's 37 minutes after 5 o'clock here in Central Virginia. It's about 57 degrees. I hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday evening. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler. He's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. Brian, we were talking in the last segment about Albemarle County turning away businesses. And we had a couple of callers call in and say, well, they turned away the Cracker Barrel. And that's like a local myth, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a myth that the Albemarle County government could turn away any specific restaurant, for example.
Yeah.
They approve a use. They approve a plan that would have a restaurant in it.
Right.
But no particular
they
restaurant.
They never get down to that level of,
no.
Do we like a Macaroni Grill or an Olive Garden?
Yeah. Now, if the developer saw it in his or her interest to advertise that a certain restaurant was coming, they might do that.
Yeah.
If they thought it would help, you know, sweeten the deal.
Yeah.
For example, if any developers are listening, you know, an Olive Garden, for example, Coy, might be a good thing.
Here's what we need. We need an Olive Garden.
On a site plan.
But even better than an Olive Garden is a Macaroni Grill, which is in Northern Virginia.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Unbelievable. It makes Olive Garden look like a McDonald's.
Wow.
And it's the same idea, nice Italian food, but it's a few notches above an Olive Garden. We also need a Cracker Barrel because I'm tired of driving to Waynesboro for my Sunday night chicken dinner, which is fantastic. And they also have great macaroni and cheese. And the kids love the gift shop. What else do we need? We need drive-thru Chinese. You know, down in Florida, that's actually very common, drive-thru Chinese restaurants. We don't have drive-thru Chinese. I'd love to be able to drive through and get my Chinese in the drive-thru. But
well,
we don't have that.
I'm certain we'll be getting a lot of those restaurants in the future as the community grows. You know, you need a critical mass of people, and as we grow, we'll get those things.
Now,
but I think it is a myth that any specific restaurant was turned down. That said, there could have very well have been a developer saying, hey, I want a Cracker Barrel here, and then they didn't get zoned for that particular activity.
Doesn't mean they turned away a Cracker Barrel.
It could have been viewed as, at that location, it didn't quite work out.
Yeah. I'd love if we had a Cracker Barrel, though, wouldn't it? There's one in Waynesboro and Stanton. Do you know that? Well, you knew there was one in Stanton because it's right near Mrs. Rouse, but they have one in Waynesboro and Stanton.
Speaking of Mrs. Rouse, we need to make a brief public service announcement, although, as I like to call them, a pie service announcement.
A PSA. A pie service announcement.
Remember, we're going to be judges next week.
That's right.
At the Albemarle High School Pie Festival.
Friday, December 4th.
And it's going to be from starting at 6 o'clock, but if you want to enter, and it's wide open to the public who wants to enter a pie in the contest for Coy Barefoot, myself, and the new principal out at Albemarle High School, Jay Thomas.
There you go,
to
Jay
judge.
Thomas.
You have to have the pie there by 5 o'clock next Friday, December 4th. All proceeds go to benefit the Albemarle High School Drama Department. And we hope people listening will start thinking about pies, maybe get inspired over the Thanksgiving holiday, bring one of those pie recipes to us to sample next Friday.
Friday, December 4th. And where is this, by the way?
At Albemarle High School.
It's at Albemarle High School.
Right off Hydraulic
Road. Which recently got a facelift, didn't they?
It did. Major renovation.
It looks good. It looks really good. So Leon said he would like a Bojangles or a Popeyes.
Oh.
I thought we had that.
I don't think we have either of those.
I thought we had a Bojangles.
If we did, my family would be driving to Bojangles for the sweet tea every day.
Really? Is that good? I've never actually eaten at one.
Very good sweet tea.
There you go. And Sherry is on the line. Hey, Sherry, how you doing? Happy Tuesday.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Coy.
Hello.
Hi, I was just going to comment on maybe some of the sign ordinance. Some of these restaurants require certain building designs that the Architecture Review Board or something doesn't allow in the county or the city.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how does that work?
Are you asking?
That's what the rumors are in town. Why we can't have an Olive Garden because of the brick stone around it won't match Jeffersonian brick.
I think that's a myth, too. I mean, if a developer came in and said, you know, my restaurant has to look like every other McDonald's in the country, then, Albemarle County's Architectural Review Board and the standards for different entrance corridors, they might say, hey, we'll be glad to have a McDonald's, but it needs to fit within the architecture and the signage ordinance that we allow. I mean, I've traveled around the country, and especially if you go down to places like Hilton Head Island in South Carolina, and they have all these restaurants, and they've all, when the community pushed back and said, you know what, our standards are a little different here.
Yeah.
If you want to.
They accommodate.
They accommodate.
Yeah, and you get the restaurant.
So that'd be great, because I'm looking for Olive Garden myself. I don't like traveling to Fredericksburg and the Route 3 traffic.
Yeah. Oh, Route 3 is the worst.
It's awful.
Yeah. Hey, Sherry, you take care. Have a great evening.
Okay, thanks.
For the call. Absolutely. There's Sherry on line one.
In fact, Coy, I've seen slideshows by different experts from around the country showing what these different restaurants, which if you just showed the picture without any signage, you would know immediately whether it's a Burger King, Taco Bell, McDonald's, just by the way the roof is typically done, the way the building's oriented, and how it looks, a Wendy's. People typically look at those things and they know immediately what it is. And the restaurants, the builders like that. You know, they want their brand to be recognized.
Yeah, of course.
At the same time, in these same slideshows, they've shown other examples of where communities have said our standards are a little different.
Yeah.
And we want a McDonald's that fits in with, you know, a ocean front environment up in Maine. And they do.
And they do it, because they want to do business. And I remember when I moved here back in the 80s, there was some talk that this was one of the first all-bricked front Walmarts. That was one of the things that, I don't know if this is true or not, but that was one of the things the county said, we wanted to have brick front, not all cinder block, but right. Have a nice brick front. Which, by the way, they're expanding. Did you see that? They're going to turn that into a super Walmart.
I did see that.
With their, you know what's a beautiful...
On the existing site.
You know who has a beautiful Walmart? I mean, where you stand in the parking lot and look at it and you say, is that a Walmart?
Who?
Stanton. Have you ever seen that super Walmart in Stanton? It's beautiful.
I don't think I have. I've only seen the
Home
Depot.
It's got all the big fake windows, you know. It looks like, you know, those fake second story windows. But it's pretty. It's actually a, you know, it doesn't even look like a Walmart. Very nice. Did you see the new front of the Bed Bath & Beyond in Barracks Road? They did a beautiful job with that.
But
that's open. That's done. It looks great.
Now, over in that corner, though, is going to be the Barnes & Noble, right? Aren't they moving and expanding?
Well, they've been saying that for years. When are they going to do that?
I'll have to check into that.
We need to know that. Because, they're supposed to move over into where they have the Halloween store.
Right.
Which used to be...
The Goodies.
Which used to be a Goodies. Yeah, right there on the corner across from the post office.
Not sure where they are. They may have... taking a break on that project.
Yeah, what's going on with that? Speaking of growing and building and developing, not a lot of that going on in town, but one company in town that's going nuts building and growing like crazy, and that is our the big factory in this factory town, the University of Virginia.
The Chief Operating Officer, Leonard Sandridge, briefed what's called the Planning and Coordination Council, the PAC committee. This is a group of Charlottesville, Albemarle, and UVA officials that meet throughout the year, and they just make sure they're all coordinating their activities. Most of that activity has been on the UVA side of late when it comes to new buildings, new development. And Mr. Sandridge detailed about $800 million in projects over the next 3 years.
Holy cow.
That includes this year, and then the next 2 years, $800 million that they will be investing in new construction. So there is a whole lot going on. This includes everything from the new dormitories being built on Alderman Road, new engineering building, new arts and science building, Davenport Field baseball stadium is getting more upgrades, and a rehearsal space on Colberth Road for the UVA marching band. You know, they have that new turf field that the marching band has access to.
Yeah, they're out there in the evening. I listen to them on the way home.
A new rehearsal space, which I guess will let them rehearse when it's inclement weather.
Yeah.
But one interesting thing, Coy, speaking of our changing aesthetic standards, and we were just talking about restaurants and signage and all that, Leonard Sandridge said a key difference between sort of this current period of really massive growth by the university, different from the 1970s, is that there's a much higher expectation for aesthetics by the university itself and what they're looking for in their new projects.
There's a whole lot more going into the design, not only the look, but also the whole, you know, LEEDs and earth friendly and all that stuff.
Sustainable architecture and getting all those features in place, reducing carbon footprints, things like that. So he pointed out to the officials at the meeting that, you know, the construction they would have accepted in the 1970s, it's a whole different ballgame now. And to some degree, that's going to be a lot more expensive as they build these projects. But that said, this is a great environment to be building things right now.
Economically.
Right. Because nobody else is building.
Right.
So they can get their pick of low bids.
Yeah. So there's stuff going up everywhere.
We've got a story on our site that details some of that. There's a great aerial picture that the university gave us of the new South Lawn project that's really coming along. And it sort of looks like a mini lawn over there. You got three buildings, sort of multi-story buildings, all in real tight, and there's going to be a little commons area in between them.
It's like the bridge has grass on it.
Well, the bridge comes over
to a big commons area,
and then it turns left. If you were coming from Cabell Hall,
yeah,
you'd cross that bridge over JPA, turn left, and then you're staring down what looks like the facades of four different major buildings.
Yeah. That looks pretty. And boy, is that's so needed, some new classrooms over there.
So that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
And
they just need to figure out what to do with, you know, Cabell.
And as we've talked about on the show, you know, the hospital is also expanding a lot. You've got the new Couric Cancer Center coming up.
Have you seen that?
Yep.
That's really
something.
It's got
a roof on it.
It looks beautiful.
You've got the front of we call the new hospital, the old White Hospital now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's getting a new front, 7 stories tall.
Yeah, they got rid of those balconies, that balcony up there, I think.
So there's a lot going on.
And there's over science buildings going up back in there. It looks really nice. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville. Tomorrow online at seavilletomorrow.org. Let's take a very quick break. We'll be right back. Tomorrow.org.
I want to finish one quick thought on the UVA development, Coy. We didn't talk about the research parks, and a key part of the update that Leonard Sandridge gave the PAC committee last week was that the Fontaine Research Park is pretty much built out. They are, however, awaiting a rezoning by the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors to expand Fontaine Avenue Research Park.
Yeah. Have you ever been in those buildings? They're nice.
I have.
Yeah. Those are nice buildings.
Yep.
I like it over there.
So they've got a little room they can expand on. Their current rezoning doesn't allow it, so they're seeking permission to do that. Of course, a key part of that discussion is the transportation element, which is the Fontaine Avenue Sunset Connector, which does not exist. And that's seen as a key way to bring people into that employment center from the urban area in southern Albemarle below I-64. It will be interesting to see how the board views that increase in development there, because in the past they have said they only want to approve new development if the road infrastructure is there at Fontaine to support it. Right now, I think the case would be made that it's not there.
Yeah.
We'll see how they handle that.
But still a part of town to keep watching, because things likely will happen there.
The other research park is North Fork up on 29 North past the airport. and they want to expand that by 30 acres as well. That's another request that'll be coming in front of the Board of Supervisors. So research parks are, you know, the third area of UVA's growth.
Yeah.
You got the hospital, you got Central Grounds, now the research parks as
well. I'll never forget the night, I was actually there the night that the developers and architects, all the folks presented North Fork for the first time. They had drawings and everything. And it was so funny because the way they presented it was that we are going to recreate the downtown mall. And that's how they built it. That's how they sold it. North Fork Research Park is going to look like the downtown mall. But if you drive through there today, it's a fur apiece from that downtown mall. It doesn't look anything like it. Very, very different. Hey, before we move on, we had a caller during the break with a rumor, and we like to talk about rumors on this show because it's a good one, and folks might be excited about this. Somebody called in and said they heard a rumor that there was going to be a Olive Garden in Barracks Road. But where would it go?
I don't know where it would go.
Because maybe it would go in where the Barnes & Noble is moving out of.
Maybe. Maybe it would replace an existing restaurant there, but I can't speculate on that, Coy.
We've come a long way from Ken Johnson's cafeteria back in the day, haven't we?
But hey, I'm all for Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Come on to town.
Although Macaroni Grill is better. I'm telling you.
Okay, I'll try.
There's folks out there who know what I'm talking about. Macaroni Grill is much better than Olive Garden.
So we were talking in the first part of the show about the turnover on the Albemarle County Planning Commission because of elections, because of planning commissioners who decided not to reapply. But we also have turnover that will be happening on the major transportation body, the MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, Policy Board.
Yeah.
Sorry, my voice is not...
I'm with you. I've been coughing for 3 days.
But the MPO will see some changes because Supervisor David Slutsky was the chair of the MPO, so he'll be finishing up his term, and a new member of the Board of Supervisors will be appointed to that group. We also had Julian Taliaferro on the MPO, city councilor, who was not nominated to run for reelection by the Democrats, and so Mr. Taliaferro will be rotating off the MPO. So at least two new members, maybe more. It depends what city council and the board decide to do in January when they make these appointments. But an important topic, Coy, that they will be taking up at the MPO is the Regional Transit Authority. You remember when we talked about that?
I remember that.
That's the city and county trying to figure out a way to do bus public transit better. From the county's perspective, they want bus to be extended to more parts of the county. The city would like to help accommodate that because the city would rather have fewer county residents bringing cars into the city. They would rather those county residents get on a bus and come to their job and shop and go home via public transit. So there's joint interest. And in fact, back in February 2008, both city council and the Board of Supervisors said, you know what, let's investigate this. As you know, Coy, the General Assembly has to get involved in matters like this.
Oh, yeah.
You have to ask permission to create regional entities like a regional transit authority. Well, the General Assembly in 2009 said, no problem. Feel free to create a regional transit authority. The second question, though, was a request for funding support. And the way the local decision makers decided to go about that was to just ask for permission to have the voters decide whether they wanted to raise a sales tax to pay for transit. General Assembly said, nope, you can't have that conversation.
You can't ask your voters if they want to pay more to expand their transit. You're not allowed to ask them.
So since the General Assembly and that bad news, they have been trying to figure out what to do next. Should they go ahead and form this thing? Should they figure out how to transfer the assets of Charlottesville Transit Service, all its buses, its employees, into this new entity? What does that mean financially for both localities? How much more is Albemarle County willing to put on the table for public transit in this climate? I'm predicting not much more.
Yeah.
So there's been this vision about increased transit. Certainly Places 29 talked a lot about how to get better transit opportunities up the 29 North Corridor. What we've learned in the MPO meeting that was held yesterday is that they're going to keep studying this, and they're going to ask the staff to work on some cost estimates, bring that back to the next MPO. So when it starts meeting in 2010, these new members, whoever they are, a city councilor and a Board of Supervisor member, They'll be meeting to talk about that. It's a story we'll be following at the beginning of the year.
You can check out that story online at SeaVilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Have a great
Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeaVillePodcast.com for more.